I want to speak a message simply to you this morning that I've entitled Shaken. Acts chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. If you don't, you can just lazily follow along. Praise the Lord. I love you. You love me, evidently, because you showered us last week with tremendous. My wife and I sat Sunday afternoon and just for an hour or more just read. You know, sometimes people give you a card and they just sign their name and, you know, shove a check in there or a gift card. You guys sat and wrote. You filled your cards up with words. You wrote all in the cards. And I'm going to tell you, those things were priceless to us. We sat and read cards from you and just thank God for the messages. Some of you wrote memories down there. I'll never forget so-and-so. Those things are meaningful to us, and we greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate your generosity and your kindness to us. Amen. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. The Bible says, on their release, you go into jail here. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. Notice what they're doing now. They're going right back to where they were connected. They're going back to their own people, and they reported all that the chief priest and the elders, the ruling elders, had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Ivan, help me on the platform here. Everything's off the cuff today. We're singing music without practicing. We're doing everything. Ivan's going to help me here. Listen to what it says here. Hold hands with me. We're brothers. He's Peter and I'm John. Amen. The Bible says when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said. They're praying now. Father, in the name of Jesus, they're praying. Just two guys praying outside the jail. They didn't wait to get back to, you know, a comfortable place. Let's go to Starbucks and pray. Let's go down to Barnabas' house and have a retreat. They didn't wait. The Bible says when they got out, they quickly joined hands. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. They're talking about Jesus. They go on to tell the Lord, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, Father. And they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, listen to what they say. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand, God. Listen, these guys are just getting out of jail. They've just been mistreated. They've lost their rights. They've been thrown into jail. Who knows what they were fed if they even ate? He says, stretch out your hand to heal. Perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And notice what it says. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. I'm going to tell you, God answered quickly, didn't he? He didn't play around. Some of you have prayed. Give Ivan a hand. He does such a good job. He shakes real well. The Bible says after they prayed, the place began to shake. It just happened, you know. Listen, how many times have you prayed and you just said, how many times have you heard people say this? This gets on my nerves, but I say it too. Well, let's just pray. Just pray. People say this, well, why don't we just pray? Just pray? Why don't we pray? Why do we add the word just in there? Like, well, there's nothing else we can do. Why don't we just pray? Come on. He says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's two guys coming out of jail, and the Bible says they all were filled with the Holy Ghost again and again and again and again. We need to be filled over and over and over again. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They just got filled. But they went to jail. Why? Because they laid hands on a man and said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And they got thrown in jail because of it. This man who lay by the gate called Beautiful. Last time I preached to you, we were talking about a man who'd been laying there and all he had to do was roll into the pool, but he wouldn't do that. And Jesus had to come along and say, do you even want to be well? This week, here's a man here who's been laying there, and he's asking for money, and they come along fresh out of the fires of Pentecost, the birth of the church, and they say, listen, we don't have money, don't have a Visa card with us, but what we do have, we'll give you in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says these guys were filled with the Holy Spirit again, and they spoke the word of God boldly. I love this narrative. I love this story. I love the fact that we're talking about Peter and John released out of jail. They didn't rob the bank in Jerusalem. They didn't break into the grocery store. They didn't do anything that was against any kind of civil law. But what they did do was extremely opposed. What were they doing? They were teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus. That name that is a dividing line. That name that will bust up something. That name that will always cause people to bring out either their best or their worst. Come on, church. They didn't do anything against any civil laws, but what they did do was extremely opposed by the chief priest and the ruling elders. They were just acting out the happenings of the Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, Spirit-initiated life. They were just doing what you and I ought to be doing every day. Amen. Amen. You know, we got this thing all backwards. We got folks going up to buildings at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning or 10 o'clock or whenever time the church starts. And they roll in there like cattle waiting to be fed from a trough. They roll up in the church and just waiting for great music and beautiful lights and a comfortable atmosphere where the temperature is just right. And they want the preacher to preach a good word, and they want to feel God's presence only to make them feel good. Amen. And then they'll see you again next Sunday. The question is, what do you do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? What do you do when Jesus wants you to be salt? What do you do when he wants you to be light? What do you do when he wants you to speak up? What do you want to do? What do you do when you and I should be joining hands on our jobs and in our workplaces, in the break room, saying, Father, move by your Spirit in this place? What are you doing? What are you doing? The church can't continue to function as she is functioning and has functioned for so long and just sit back on our blessed assurance and get fat off good preaching. We can't do it. Amen. We've got to get busy. We got to get busy, 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 busy sharing our faith. That's why we're going into Contagious Christianity here in just a couple of weeks. September 13th, I believe it is, on a Wednesday night. I'm calling you. You that are sitting here looking at me this morning. You look on Sunday, but some of you don't look on Wednesday. Amen. Well, we're busy. So am I. So is everybody. I'm looking for people, 50 people. 50 people that will go with me on a journey for just 11 sessions. 11 sessions between now and just the week after Thanksgiving to talk about what it means to be a contagious Christian, to take your faith to a new level, to take your life as a Christian to an arena where you are willing and able every day of your life. You will open up your mouth in the style and the fashion in which God has created you to comfortably do and sometimes uncomfortably do. And that you'll share Jesus, because you're working with people that are going to hell. You're working with folks who don't know the Lord. You're working with people. Some of you got family members who are going to hell. And you haven't really been honest with them. I shared a story. I've shared it here before, but I shared a story in one of our classes just a couple of weeks ago in the School of Ministry. Tony Campolo, preaching to 25,000 people. 25,000 people was preaching about sharing the gospel, speaking up for righteousness' sake, preaching Jesus. And he said, and the altar time came, they said the crowd was just there on the edge of their seat listening to Campolo speak. And he said, matter of fact, he said, some of you folks just won't even share the good news with your own family. He said, some of your people are going to hell in a handbasket and you don't give a, and he used the D word. In that 25,000 people, they're going to hell in a handbasket, and you don't give a, and he shouted the D word right in the middle of his sermon. And oh, the crowd went, oh! And he let it calm back down. And And then he stepped back up to the microphone and he says, as a matter of fact, you've just showed me that you are far more upset about my choice of words than you are about your own family going to hell. When are you going to share the gospel, he said. These guys are fresh out of the upper room that we're talking about, Peter and John. They're fresh out of the upper room, fresh out of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They made their way to the temple at the hour of prayer, and they had an encounter with this crippled man. How many times have you walked by crippled people? How many times have you walked by people who are crippled in spirit? It looked like everything was okay, but they were crippled in spirit. How many times have you seen the countenance of people that you work with, that you shop with, that you play with, that you serve with? You've seen their countenance have a message on their forehead: I am out of control. I'm confused. I'm bewildered. I'm despaired. And you didn't say nothing about it. You didn't even say, hey, are you okay? You don't seem like yourself. How many times are we so busy doing what we want to do that we've missed God's divine appointments? To lay hands on people, to see captives set free, to see the bound go free, because we're not interested in kingdom work. These guys were simply moved by the Spirit of God. Their lives have been shaken. Somebody say shaken. Their lives have been shaken by the Spirit of God. There'd been a shift in the protocol of their religious experience. Going to the temple was different now. They had become the temple. Come on, somebody. They had become the temple. I've said it so many times here in my 25 years here. This is probably a statement that I've said more than any other statement that I've said in all these 25 years. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. But in the New Testament, God has a people for his temple. You are the temple. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul said it so well. He said, Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You belong to God. He created you out of the dust of the earth and breathed into you the breath of life. And every breath that you have is God's breath. Amen. It's not your life. It's God's life living in you. And so you and I must understand that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God has chosen us. He shrouds us. He's chosen that we be keepers of his presence. We house the presence of the Lord. Come on, let that settle in for just a second. You and I are keepers of his presence, and we're called to house his presence. That's why Jesus said to us, listen, you're salt, you're light. You are salt. You and I are to salt the earth. We are to season the earth. We're to preserve the earth in spiritual living. And we're to shine our light so that they may see our good works, see our character in action, and give God the glory for who we are. Amen. That's what we're supposed to be. You see, when Jesus was on the earth, he was just one man. He preached, he healed, he delivered the oppressed, the possessed, he released the captive and the bound, and he transformed lives, and he fulfilled the words of Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 61. He said, the Spirit of the Lord, Isaiah prophesied this about the Christ. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom and to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. He goes on to say that he has called me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of despair or heaviness. That's what God had called Christ to do. And guess what? That's what Christ has called you and I to do. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. Why? Because I'm going to my Father. You should have the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life to let the oppressed go free, to let the possessed be set free, to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, to do all of these things. Well, I thought that's what the preacher did. That's where you're wrong. Amen. The preacher's to inspire you. The preacher's to encourage you to speak. The preacher is to fan the flames of God's power on your life. That's what we're here for on Sunday. Amen. We're not here just so you can get fed. We're here so you can be equipped. We're here so you can be nurtured. We're here so you can be inspired, so that when you walk out of these doors and clock into that workplace on Monday, which is a curse, you got to work. It's part of the problem, the sin problem. It goes all the way back in the beginning of the book of Genesis. The reason we have to work is because of sin. We had a good plan. We had a real good plan. I mean, listen, Gary told me one time many years ago, he said, I think it was one of the pastors on television said, man, what in the world was wrong with Adam? He had it made naked in the garden with no lawnmower. What happened to it? What's wrong with that? Naked in a beautiful garden with no lawnmower. He didn't even have to work. Just take care of this. Just till. It wasn't work. It was joy. And all of a sudden, sin came in the picture. Now you got briars, okay? Now you got ragweed. Now you got hollyhock. Come on, farmer. Now you got all this wiregrass, okay? Because of sin. But listen, Jesus wants you to be salt. He wants you to be light. He wants his presence. Somebody say presence. He wants his presence on the earth. That's why the prophet Habakkuk said it like this: for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. He wants his presence shattered all about all the earth. He wants it out there. And that's what his divine plan is. The Father wants his divine presence on the whole earth. So Jesus says to his disciples, hey boys, got to get out of here. John chapter 16, verse number 7. John 16, verse 7, Jesus said, but verily, truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, the comforter, the Spirit of God, unless I go away, he cannot come. But if I go, Jesus says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send him to you. And Jesus left, and Jesus ascended after his resurrection appearances and his fish meal and all this other thing. He's gone to a place now where he's going to go away, and all they see are his heels ascending into the heavens. And those who heard him, he had said, listen, go to the upper room and so that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Go to the upper room so that you can receive the promise of the Father. That happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes. 50 days after Passover, 50 days after our Easter, 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits, 50 days after the Harvest Festival. Come on now. It's in the book. These two men that we're talking about today are Peter and John. They had simply experienced the birth of the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, those who've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. The church was born in the fires of Pentecost. The church was born in the fires of the Spirit. How come we have become so satisfied with printing up a bulletin and getting out at 12 o'clock and going there one time a week, bless God, if we do that? How come we become so happy with just the status quo? Why don't we see miracles in the house anymore? Why don't we hear the gifts of the Spirit more than we hear them? Why don't we see the lame walk and the blind see? Why aren't the addicts and the drug addicts and those who are just messing up their life, why are they not just hanging out on our property waiting till the doors open? Because we're not hungry. We're not hungry. Some of y'all say, well, I'm getting tired of pastor preaching like this. I'm getting tired of him talking about revival. Well, get sick of it. You're going to have to find you another place to worship, because you know what? I'm not going to be happy until I see the lost come to Christ. I'm not going to be happy until I see the sick healed. I'm not going to be happy until this place is overrun and people are standing in the parking lot saying, I wish I could get in. I'm not going to be happy until I see a move of the Holy Spirit. You say, pastor, give it up, man. You got a good church. You've had a good ministry. I'm not talking in the past tense. I'm talking about what God wants to do, what God desires to do, what God loves to do. He wants to move in the hearts and the lives of people. I spend every week of my life texting people, instant messaging people, chasing after people. Some of them come, some of them don't. Listen. That's what God wants you doing. You got to see the church far beyond the fire insurance policy that just keeps you out of hell. God's looking for you to get up and get the message on your tongue. Contagious Christianity. Get ready, get ready, get ready. God wants to prepare you to live a life for Him that you have not been living, perhaps. And if those of you that are, He just wants to throw a little fertilizer on you. That's all. In other words, listen, the church was born in the fires of Pentecost. The church was born in the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. In other words, check this out. You ought to write this down. Somebody ought to Facebook this. Natural for the church is supernatural. Come on now. Natural for the church is supernatural. The only natural thing for the church is supernatural activity, supernatural signs and wonders, supernatural miracles. That's what the church is all about. The shaking and the shift that took place in the lives of these two men named Peter and John caused them to look at the temple with a different perspective. They were walking to the temple at the hour of prayer. Many times they had walked by this man so many times, shaking his little can. The coins are rocking back and forth. Alms for the poor. Many times they have walked by him. But this time they didn't. You know why? Because they've been dipped in the Holy Ghost. They could not walk by this man because the Holy Spirit had so filled their lives. Their spiritual antenna were up and they were just waiting for an opportunity to lay hands on somebody. The shaking and the shift that took place in the lives of Peter and John caused problems among religious folks. And can I just tell you something? If you get on fire for God, you're going to shake some folk up. They're going to say, listen, don't you remember? Can you look back when you just got on fire for God and you just kind of, you know, just kind of lost your senses for a while? Somebody said, you know what? He'll calm down after a while. Oh, she'll settle down after a while. She's just on fire. She just got saved. She'll settle down. You know, how come we settle down? How come we settle down? Why don't we stay on fire for God? Why don't we stay connected to the things of God? The Bible says in our text today, Acts chapter 4, verse 23, on their release, they go back to their people. And they start reporting all that the chief priest and the ruling elders had said to them. They ran from jail to prayer meetings. They ran from jail to prophetic words being spoken over one another. They ran from jail to laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. They ran from jail to preaching Jesus. There was a shaking and a shift in their lives. They chose to walk out in every day of their life. They didn't care if they would consider being locked up again. It didn't bother them. That's why their prayer was seen in verses 29 to 30. Right out of jail, they join hands with the authorities in their presence. Stretch out your hand to heal, Lord. And don't you know that everybody looking heard? Listen, when the Spirit of God shows up, usually you can see it. When the Spirit of God is in the presence, usually you can see something manifested. Don't you think for one instant that these people didn't look from a distance and say, man, isn't that the guy that was in jail? We just let him out. Check this out. The place where they're standing there is shaken. God's power must be here. Remember what happened to the Philippian jailer when Paul and Silas got into a worship night in the jailhouse? Man, he's just so terrified. He starts to pull his own knife and says, hey, man, I got to check out of here. He says, oh, you and your whole family can be saved. So listen, things happen. When you activate your faith, things happen when you walk in spiritual authority and power. Things happen when your spirit is revived and people will take notice. But guess what? God will do some powerful things in your life. He will. I love verse 31. After they prayed this prayer in 29 and 30, verse 31 says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what happened to them? It gave them even a greater boldness. Amen? You know, we're not seeking just the ability to speak a language. We're not seeking that. We're not seeking just the ability to speak a language. You can buy, what's her name, at the airport. You can speak any kind of language you want to speak. Rosetta Stone, come on, somebody. ¿Dónde está la pluma? La pluma está sobre la mesa. No, a little bit of Spanish. Okay. Yesu Raja Harivikida Yelam Kampaduvom. I know a little bit of Indian, okay, because I sang in Indian churches night after night after night in 1994. I know a little bit of the Indian tongue. But if you want to learn a language, just sign up for the course. You're not seeking a language. What you're seeking is the baptizer to immerse you in spiritual empowerment so that you can move out in the dynamics of the Spirit. It's deeper than a language, beloved. It's deeper than speaking in tongues. You can speak in tongues, just take a language. But what you want is the spiritual empowerment that comes from being immersed. That's what baptized means. Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Have you been totally immersed into the presence of God? Notice what it says here. It says, when they prayed, I underscored it. It intrigued me when I was studying it, so I underscored it for you. It says the place was what? Shaken. Now, I've read over that all my life, and I read over it many times. Shaken? What was going on here? I looked up the word shaken in the original language. It means this: to be set in motion by wind, storms, or waves. You think God's speaking to America when he hits the south coast of Texas? Come on. God is shaking the nation. God is shaking the southern part of the United States. To be set in motion by wind, storms, or waves. The place was what? Shaken. Listen, when you go through hardship and difficulty in your life, what happens to your faith? It's shaken. It's like you're there and all of a sudden something goes and blows in on you that you were not expecting. And it shakes your faith. And sometimes when the doctor says this, or sometimes the lawyer says that, or better yet, the judge says that, your faith is shaken. But God wants you to know that he's with you. Listen to what Anoli shared with you today when he was in the pulpit. You're not here because we want you to feel so ashamed and embarrassed for some of the stuff that you did this week. Understand, he's a God that loves you unconditionally. He said, he encouraged you, he admonished you. When you fail, run to him, worship him, tell him how thankful you are that he's not given up on you. But you see, the devil wants you, when you fail, the devil wants you to feel so ashamed. You know, I've talked to people who missed services for a long time. And I said to some person one day, I said, listen, man, we've missed you. He said, I know, Pastor. He said, I saw your text messages. I received your calls. But this is what he said. But when you called me, I was so ashamed. It had been so long, I was so embarrassed. So you see what the devil wants you to do? He wants you, when you fail, when you disappoint God, he wants you to feel miserable and isolated. Because if you get in his presence, if you get in God's presence, then you might feel a washing and a cleansing. And he will remind you that when he was on the cross of Calvary, he said, it is finished. He might remind you that, listen, you might be trifling as the day is long, but you're one of God's children, that he's done a great work in your life called salvation. Salvation is not about the good things that you do, and being lost is not about the bad things that you do. This is a relationship. When your children, listen, when your children fail miserably and mess up, you don't look at them and say, you're no longer my son. You don't do that. Oh, you're disappointed. But you would not dare kick them out of your family. And God doesn't do the same either. He doesn't do that either. He loves you. And when things come, and guess what? He allows things to come, and he allows us to go through a shaking. He's getting our attention. The word shaken, in other words, they had been set in motion by the wind of the Spirit, the Ruach. The Ruach HaKodesh in the Hebrew. And there comes then an agitation. An agitation means to do what? To move from one's comfortable place. Listen, God wants to agitate you sometimes. He wants to allow the things that he allows to come into your life so that you become agitated. You're moved from a comfortable place to a place where you're stretched or squeezed. The word shaken also means to disturb something. God needs to disturb his church. To disturb it. to disturb someone. The church needs to be disturbed. We become, many cases in our worship services, we become so routine, so predictable. See? And got it down to a, well, he's almost done. He's almost done. Is that what you come here for, so I can get done? See, he's almost done. We got to be careful that we don't become so routine in our walk with God that we usher out those times of precious interruption by the Holy Spirit, that we usher out those times of being set in motion by opportunities of being uncomfortable. God wants us uncomfortable sometimes. Did you hear Anoli's analogy about the pearl this morning? Man, you don't get a pearl unless the pearl goes through tremendous, tremendous amounts of pressure and squeezing and rolling and turning. That's how you get a pearl. And God wants to shake us. And listen, some of you are sitting here today, you're in the middle of a shaking. And you've become embittered toward God. God doesn't want you embittered toward him. Some of you are asking that big question, why? You know what? I can't give you the answers why. But I can tell you that God wants you to come to him and fall on your face and say, Lord, I am desperate for you. I want you. I want you. I want your presence in my life so that people can see your glory manifested in my life and be drawn to you. That's what God wants from your life and my life. Our text says that that's what happened with Peter and John. They prayed that day, and you know what happened? The verse says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you know, imagine? Listen, they were going to their routine. They were going to the temple. But it was different now. Why? Because the Holy Spirit had shaken them. He had shifted their protocol. And you know, we got to be careful here because we get the feeling, well, you know, I received the Holy Ghost 25 years ago. But you don't pray in the Spirit any? Sometimes Christians are guilty of this. Spirit-filled Christians, you know, they speak in the Holy Spirit. They speak in tongues. Yeah, they in the service, and they prayed a couple of syllables that were foreign to them. You got it. You got it. And you treat it like a trophy. And then you fold your arms and get satisfied. God, have mercy on us. Listen, it's not a trophy. It's an empowerment that God will take you from one place to another. Some of you may be struggling and say, you know, I really wish I could be a greater witness. I really wish that I could speak up for God. You know what you need to ask for? Not, Lord, not let me help me speak up for you more. Lord, baptize me in your presence. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. That I might be. Because you know what Acts 1:8 says? That you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. You need to be filled over and over and over again. We just cited a second reference here where Peter and John are filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I thought they were filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Here they're filled again. Why? Because we need to be filled over and over and over again. Why? Because we leak. When do we leak? When you watch Netflix. When do we leak? When you turn the radio on and you're listening to All My Rowdy Friends and Settle Down. You leak. Why do you leak? You leak when you go punch in the clock and go to work with some pagans that you work with, and they cuss around you, and they swear around you, and they lie around you, and they cheat on you. You leak. We leak when we connect with people who want to talk about everything in the world except the kingdom of God. You leak. And so you need to be filled again and again and again and again. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And you also were included. Check this out. I'm coming to a close. I really am. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believe, check this out. I underscored it for myself. When you believe, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is what? A deposit, guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. When you came to Christ, you were given a seal, a deposit of the Holy Spirit. Then he told the believers in the same letter, chapter number 5, verse 18 and 19, listen, don't get drunk on wine. Leave the Mad Dog 2020 alone. Check out, leave the Wild Irish Rose on the shelf. Don't do that. Why? Because it leads to debauchery. What is debauchery? That's a big word, Pastor. Debauchery is when you naturally start to be inclined to move towards sensual things. Sensual things. You watch stuff you shouldn't watch. You listen to things you shouldn't listen to. That's debauchery. And if you're going to be influenced by the world, then that's what the world has to offer. Turn the TV on. They'll show you. They'll show you. He says, don't be drunk with wine. That leads to being catered towards sensual things. Instead, be filled with the Spirit so that you can do what? Speak to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart from the Lord. That's what you want. You want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, so that you will walk in the Spirit, so that you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. It's not rocket science, friends. It's very easy. It's very easy. Instead, he calls for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit that'll put a song in your heart, a word on your tongue. You'll encourage one another and build one another up. You'll go after the lost with the message of Jesus. You'll always be singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. There'll always be a song in your heart. Why? Because your life has been shaken by the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad he shook you? Aren't you glad he's shaking you today, reminding you, I want you, I want you, I want you. God wants you all the time. Somebody say, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Move me from complacent. Move me from complacent. Move me from the mundane and the mediocre. Move me from the flesh to the Spirit. Shake me, Lord. Shift me. I sense in my spirit today that God wants to do just that. He wants to move some of you. Some of you are sitting here and you would say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I see the presence of God on your life. I see your excitement. I see your enthusiasm. And I want that for myself. I hear you, but I don't feel that. Listen, there's no reason to be ashamed of that. How many of you would say, Pastor, I hear your words of excitement and enthusiasm, and I want that, but I feel like I'm just not quite there yet. Come on, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. It's okay. I want that enthusiasm. You know, there was a season in my life. I've been your pastor for a long time. There was a season in my life, and I wish I could go back to this. I can't make it happen. There was a season in my life where I would sit on that same seat and all I would do is walk in this sanctuary and the music would start and all I could do was cry. Alvin Slaughter was with us one day and he was sitting right there on the first pew across from me. And I was just weeping before God. They were singing songs and all I could do was just cry. And I cried sometimes where I couldn't help but make a noise and people were hearing me undoubtedly. I didn't want them to hear me, but people were hearing me weep. Alvin asked me after the service, he said, can I talk to you for a minute? He said, yeah. He said, when did you get that? I said, what? He said, man, I was just standing there and I watched you. And he said, I just love that hunger and I want that. You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen people sometime that were just so overjoyed in the presence of God and it made you envious? In a healthy way. He was like, man, I want that. And you couldn't make it happen to save your life. But you wanted that. Can I just promise you this? If you'll just love on him, he will love on you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you that want to, why don't you just come and stand in his presence for a few moments? Just come. Just come and stand in his presence. Hallelujah. That's a great song, Richard. Sing it. Thank you for that sensitivity.
There's nothing worth more.
Wow.
That could ever come close.
Come on, just stand in his presence. Come on, lift your hands and just pray in the Spirit. You're Just love him, just love him. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Come on, just move in. Move in close and lift your hands and just love him all over this altar this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
I've tasted and seen.
I've tasted and seen.
Oh, the sweetest of love.
That's right. Grab that oil and just lay some oil on people this morning. Come on, help me this morning.